When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Holy cow!
Please shut up!
Please shut up!
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Here comes me! Here's the threat of the
plate! You're killing me, Smalls!
Brave win! Brave win! Brave win!
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Me? Play football?
Vance Dooley and a Georgia damn Bulldog, baby!
My mom made me put on my jacket, and then she made me do the dishes.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
That's so funny. Last time I heard that, I laughed so hard I fell off my dinosaur.
Just a bit outside.
Oh, look at the sugar falling out of the sky. Look at the sugar falling out of the sky.
You think you'll ever get out of here?
One day, when I got a long white beard and two or three marbles rolling around upstairs, they let me out.
The Second String Podcast and Now Radio Show on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Ah, the sweet sound of Bananarama.
Man, this is summer.
This is summer.
You know what this is? This is the first day of school, 1984. Daniel LaRusso had already beaten up Johnny Lawrence on the beach. Then they got to go see each other at school,
which is terrible.
What was the name of the girl? Remember Karate Kid, the movie we're referencing? What was the girlfriend's name? Oh, I'm drawing a blank on her name. She was a cutie too, man.
Where is she now? That's what I think.
She was in Cobra Kai.
That's right, she was.
Did you watch Cobra Kai?
And I have not. No, we talked about this.
Okay.
I haven't, and I need to, because you had told me, dude, you've got to. And
it's so good.
I haven't gotten to it yet. No.
It is so, so good. If you have any affection for the Karate Kid, man, you have got to watch Cobra Kai. Mm. It jumps the shark. Don't stick with it all the way through. Allie was her name.
Allie.
Elizabeth Shue is the actress. She's beautiful, by the way.
She is, really. I'm going to look her up and see what else she was in.
Something about Cobra Kai, everybody they bring back from the first couple of original movies look fantastic.
Well, you know what that is. Logan, come on. That's healthy eating, no partying.
They're not smoking butts on the weekends.
Over the years, man, Elizabeth Shue, there she is.
So you're telling me they're not cracking open four craft beers and a rack of ribs on a given Saturday night just for fun?
Do you know that Elizabeth Shue was in Cocktail with Tom Cruise?
Things we're learning right
Back
now.
Back to the Future she was in. Back to the Future Part 2 and the ever-popular Death Wish.
I don't know what that is. Wait. In Back to the Future, she wasn't the young...
She was the really young, yeah.
I mean, she was the mom at a young age, the one that, Michael J. Fox almost kissed?
No.
She was the sister,
She
maybe.
Was the sister.
Okay.
Yeah, she would have been too young for the mom thing.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
But listen, I mean, we find out that these actresses throughout the years are in other things, and then you forget she was in Karate Kid.
I know, man. And they look good in the pro. Hollywood's good to some, bad for others, man. That original drop right there, I'm going to do it one more time. You ready?
Yeah.
So you and I talk a lot about nostalgia. We talk a lot about, upcoming seasons and what we're excited about. It's just casual conversation. When we flip the calendar to May, I'm trying to urge myself not to just dive into summertime because we got some spring left.
We do, Logan, but obviously May is nothing but a prequel to summer, so we might as well get into summer because let's face it, we've had some nice weather for the past week.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost summer-like, not quite yet.
I'm giving you a homework assignment. You've got 7 days to figure out how to do it, but I'm going to come on air with you next week. Not this show, but next week. Do you realize that the University of Georgia's graduation exercise is a week from Friday, May 10th? That's next week. The Athens summer, we've referenced it in the past. The summer in Athens when the kids are gone is like adult Disney World. It's awesome. The restaurants become like more accessible. You can park sideways downtown if you want to. You can walk around campus without just 40,000 kids around you, which they're great. I love them, but the summer times are magical. But I'm going to ask you next week to prepare like a 60-second or as long as you want to go graduation speech.
All right.
For the second string Cheeseheads. It'd probably be better if you don't plan for it. We'll just turn the mics on and roll. But you and I will give our advice to the young Cheeseheads graduating and entering the real world, as we like to call it.
Yeah, I can tell you my pre-advice, don't. Take another semester.
Don't do it.
Yeah, take another semester.
See, I'm actually polar opposite. I don't ever graduate. You stay in school until you die.
Well, that's but Logan, that's what I mean. Like, every year we do this, take another semester. Oh, just keep going.
Wait, so your advice is to take another one?
Yeah.
I thought you said don't. My apologies.
No, take another one.
We're on the same page then. No, stick around, man. Just take out more debt. It doesn't matter. If you're in school, you don't have to pay for
it. Yeah.
So just keep changing majors every 4 years.
It'll get wiped away, you know?
Well, there's that possibility, too. Go ahead. Hey, that's when you gamble anything in Vegas, you're gambling that you may never see the money again or you may double it. Go ahead and take out another loan.
Right.
You never know what's going to happen.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm excited for kind of getting into that summer vibe. And May is that, like, transitional month where, all right, spring, the Masters, the dogwood blooms, the pollen, it's all in the rearview mirror. Later on this month, in fact, it's the Thursday before Memorial Day, will be the 100 days until college football kickoff. That always excites me a little bit. We got horses this weekend. You want to pick a horse before it's all said and done?
I don't even know the names. I just know that every year it's a horse because I remember watching it as a kid, and I really started to watch it again about 15 years ago, and then I got off of it for some reason. I don't know why. I mean, it's almost like you can't keep track of which horse is which anymore.
No, you can't. The Kentucky Derby is funny in a sense that this is the first time 99.9% of us have ever seen these horses. We have no clue who they are until race week, and the only reason we know them is because people put them in articles. Let's see if I can get a couple of names here. Okay, the Epic Ride is going to be racing on Sunday or Saturday.
All right.
Epic Ride. I don't bet. I don't really, I'm not a big gambler at all. I don't know what like the odds. Like, 50-1 is Epic Ride's chances.
Is that
That's
good?
Not very good. I don't think so. No. Society Man. Hey, I'm a Society Man. They're racing this weekend.
Okay.
Forget the odds. Forget that. These are all like the low, worst to the best odds. Fierceness. That's a good name. Fierceness.
What's the odds on fierceness?
5-2.
Okay.
Don't know what that means.
No.
I know some people listen to that. Like, what do you mean you don't know what that means? Like, I literally don't know what 5-2 odds
It's
means.
Very different when you're looking at football odds, basketball odds. Then you come to horse odds. You're like,
I understand spreads.
Spreads. But
I can do over-unders. But when you give me 5-2, it's like, I don't know. You're speaking a language I don't know.
I'm looking at this one here, and I don't know if this is a good one or not for Sierra Leone. A 3-1 odds. I'm imagining that's pretty good. The closer you get.
Wasn't that an actress, Sierra Leone? That's Taya Leone.
Taya Leone.
Taya Leone. Taya. Taya. But I got a horse named Resilience. Domestic product. I mean, if you like domestic beers, you might get on domestic product.
I got one that says Catalic.
Catalic.
30-1 odds. I don't
like
think that's
catalytic very, converter.
That's about how it's spelled too.
Okay.
Door knock spelled D-O-R-N-O-C-H.
Knock knock.
Yeah, who's there? Not door knock. Not door knock's door knock. Be in the back.
I got T-O password from Japan.
Okay.
T-O password.
Is that an imported horse?
We got domestic product, then we got a Japanese horse named T.O. Password.
I'm going to wrap mine up with Catching Freedom. That's horse.
I mean, that's America.
8-1 odds, Catching Freedom.
How can you bet against Catching Freedom for crying out loud?
Come on.
Grand Mo the First. That's the real name, like spelled out. Grand Mo the First. I like that.
Do you maybe they thought Grandma the First. They
all
went
right,
with Grandma.
Do this. No, we don't plan. We don't do show prep here on the Second String Podcast. It's actually what makes the show kind of fun. What name a horse? Give me a horse name based on your favorite sports team. It could be a player, a team, a year, a championship.
Okay, let's do with this. We're going to go with Pirate Dog.
Pirate Dog. From
the Pittsburgh Pirates,
Pirates
and the Dogs.
And the Dogs. So Pirate Dog.
Pirate Dog.
If I saw Pirate Dog in the Kentucky Derby, I'd place a bet on Pirate Dog.
Sounds like it could slice your neck.
This is the low-hanging fruit one, but McConkey on his donkey for Lad McConkey.
Yeah.
That's what Scott Howard called when he scored a touchdown in the national championship win over TCU. He said, Lad McConkey on his donkey. I could bet some McConkey on his donkey.
Yeah, I could take that. I mean, always a winner, always a champion, figures out how to get it done. I'll take it.
I know we don't talk about Herschel Walker that much anymore, but one thing that cracked me up when we did this on social media years ago, someone named their horse Herschel Runner. Okay. I was like, that's perfect. You don't want your horse walking.
I would like to do – yeah, no, you don't want to do that.
But a Herschel Runner.
I would like – let me take a little playoff of the legendary dog sportscaster, Harry Munson.
Okay,
we'll call it Munson's Bruncheon.
Munson's Bruncheon. I think Metal Steel Chair was one of them after his great call in 1980.
That was a good one.
I wish I could find that thread. Oh, here we go. Okay, I'm going to give you a few that the ref listeners, oh my goodness, 5 years ago. Holy cow. We did this on social media 5 years ago and got some absolutely just epic. Now, this is pre-winning national championships. Let's see. What are some good ones here? Hobnail Hoofs instead of Boot. Hobnail
That's
Hoofs.
That's perfect.
Yeah, Run Lindsay Run is a great one, obviously. The Sweater Man named it himself. How about just Sweater Man?
Sweater Man.
Tween the Hedges would get some bets. There Goes Girly. Chubby Time for Nick Chubb. Let's see. The funny thing is, man, all these are so pre-national championship. 5 years ago is like a darn, like, different lifetime.
It really is
compared to what we've experienced.
When you go, even pre-Kirby is a different experience, mm-hmm. if you think about it. I mean, all the great players and all the things that could have happened.
Smart Play. I like that one based on Kirby Smart. Yeah. Sanford Stegman would be a good horse name. Anyway, let me ask you this. Getting off these names because they're getting kind of dry here. Will you watch the Kentucky Derby?
100%.
I know
you're
a busy man, but
I'll turn
you
it on.
See it?
It's on Saturday or Sunday? Saturday?
I think it's Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Saturday afternoon. I always turn it on.
Now, over under, there's like a 6-hour buildup to the 2-minute race.
I won't watch any of that.
I was going to over under you at like 5 minutes. You're taking the under?
Oh, way under.
Under 5.
Because there's the commitment, Logan. I mean, you don't have to watch that. Who cares?
I may have a mint julep on Saturday, but it's not going to be while I'm watching the pre-race.
What is a mint julep? I've never had one.
Let's find out together here. I've had them. They're not my like favorite at all. They're not bad either.
I'm envisioning gin with a slice of mint in it. And you're way off. Well, I'm sorry.
I think you're actually pretty close. Let's see what a mint julep. It's actually bourbon.
Bourbon, okay. I would drink that.
Yeah, it's bourbon with a teaspoon of powdered sugar. Now, this is just what I found first and foremost. There could be a million different mint julep recipes, but the main ingredients are bourbon, mint leaves. That's what brings in the mint julep, and maybe some like simple syrup and some sort of sugar.
Okay, I would drink that.
Yeah, no, I've had them. They're good. I'm not a big mint fan. To me, mint is toothpaste, okay? Like, my wife loves, and this is no disrespect to the Girl Scouts. They do a phenomenal job selling cookies and all that.
I want
to
see how you tie this in.
I do not like the Thin Mints.
You're not a big...
My wife loves them.
I love York Peppermint Patties.
See, to me, that's like putting toothpaste in your mouth as a treat. Like, don't get me wrong, I love brushing my teeth in the mornings, but... That's I don't like sit there. Oh man, I could really go for some toothpaste right now.
Yeah, I don't think so. But that's a different type of mint. See, I like the Listerine strips. If when I think of mint julep, I think of Listerine. Okay. You know, remember those Listerine strips you stick in your mouth?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
but what if you had one that was bourbon flavor, and it got you tipsy?
Oh man,
now you're talking.
Then you don't need to pour a glass; just have it in your pocket.
That's what I'm talking about.
Can we come up with that? Can we come up with this idea?
Yes, absolutely. Like mint julep strips that we sell like acid. On drops in your tongue, and then you're just good to go.
Man.
We could walk around the Kentucky Derby and make a fortune at them.
Yeah, you could. Here, try one of these.
If you've picked up on what I'm doing here, I'm delaying the inevitable. We got to talk about the Falcons. We got to talk about the draft.
Oh, is this what we're talking about?
Yeah, I think me and you may have differing opinions on this, which is healthy radio, by the way.
In my head, I was thinking, man, we are really talking about the Kentucky Derby a lot right now.
Yeah, I'm delaying the inevitable. So we've talked, obviously, it's Thursday. We've seen each other many times, but... Give me your thoughts, because yours are different. 1 week ago today, the Falcons did the unthinkable and wasted their number 8 draft pick. See how I'm inserting my opinion in the question?
You know, I don't think they did. Here's where I'm thinking. Mm-mm. Kirk Cousins, they had to give him $180 million because that's the cost of doing business. Only 90 is guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, what I'm hearing and thinking the Falcons did was draft Penix. Mm. Michael Penix Jr., they saw enough tape where he was healthy the last 2 years. Okay, he was on the field. He was super accurate. He's got an arm on him. And I think what they saw was, listen, we're going to groom this guy to be our next quarterback with the thought that Kirk Cousins may have 2 years left. Look, Matt Ryan's 38 years old. You saw how he deteriorated. Kirk Cousins is in that window now. He's going to be 36 at the start of the season. So you draft your star quarterback knowing you may not get one next year. You may have nobody out there to get, and you may actually do well. So let's take a quarterback we know is good right now. We may not get that opportunity in the next 2 years. And what happens, Kirk Cousins goes down. Then what do we got? We don't have do we have Taylor Heinicke still?
Yeah, I think Heinicke's still on the
We'll have to stick with him, but he'll give us 2 wins.
So will Michael Penix, though. Penix is not as good as I think you're selling him to be, okay? Penix did not do wonderful things at Indiana. He tore his ACL not once but twice. Major, major red flag, by the way. You do not want a dude out there that you've locked into a long-term contract with a torn ACL not once but twice. He hurt his shoulder 2 other times. I hear you. He was on the field for the end of the season last year. The one good defense he played last year in Michigan, and look, the Pac-12's terrible. They are known for just saying, hey, defense, schmefense. That was terrible, by the way. Defense, schmefense.
Schmefense.
Put that on a T-shirt, Adam. They don't play defense in the Pac-12. The one time he played a good defense in Michigan, the dude went 27 for 51 with 2 interceptions. His short arm delivery to me was a giant red flag, what I watched in the national championship game. If you're on Twitter like I am during all these things, and college football Twitter is a very, very crazy place, but man, everybody's talking about this dude just lost first round status with this terrible showing he had in the national championship. It was awful. But all that aside, okay, look, here's the thing. I'm rooting for him to be a good quarterback. I'm not, like, taking that approach of, oh, yeah, he's a bad pick, so I hope he fails. No, that's dangerous. I don't want to be that guy. I want the Falcons to succeed, and that includes Michael Penix. But if you're selling the fan base for the last, like, several months that we are going to go for it and try to win now, and you need defense because your defense has been, like, on average the 26th best in the nation for years now, why are you going to get a backup quarterback for the future with a number 8 pick that you had options on the board that could have changed the defense now? It's terrible, in my opinion, that they got a guy to put on the bench for 2 years. And if look, here's the thing also. If Cousins does get hurt or can't finish this year, we're up the creek anyway. I don't think Michael Penix is going to step in as a rookie and be this, like, hero that saves the day. He needs some grooming in the NFL before he actually gets to be that guy. So why not put Taylor Heinicke out there if things go wrong with Cousins? Because you're screwed either way. But you would have had a foundation of the defense to build for the future. It just drives me nuts that the Falcons just can't seem to do what they need to do. They instead do what they think is going to be the flashy, we outsmarted everybody else, no one saw this coming.
I see your point, but I will say this, is you could say the same thing. Look at Caleb Williams. What did he take USC to? Nothing. Michael Penix is a winner.
Oh,
Washington to a national championship game. And what I look at is the only other quarterback I could see the Falcons going, yeah, we would have picked him over Penix, would be Jaden Daniels, obviously. But would you have taken who's the third pick? Drake May?
Drake May, then Bo Nix came off the board.
I would take Bo Nix.
J.J. McCarthy. But the thing is, we did not need a quarterback at all.
Well, Logan, I understand that, but at the same time, defense, they did shore up that defense with, which ironically, another Washington player that was pretty darn good. I know that you're looking at that, but then again, look where we're playing. We're playing the NFC South, the no offensive South. There's nothing that we're getting 6 games a year against these guys. Look, I mean, it's going to be difficult regardless. You got the Chiefs on the schedule. You got the Steelers. You got the Cowboys this year.
Falcons are going to win the division. Like, I have no doubt in my mind.
Right.
They're going to be a playoff team. What they do in the playoffs, probably nothing. But they're going to be a playoff team. But now the guys that could help you win in this playoff window with the number 8 pick, which is pretty damn valuable, is going to be on the sideline.
Here's the other thing, Logan. Why did we pay Kirk Cousins $180 million when he's won one playoff game?
Well, the contract is not great for Cousins, and you're probably going to get him for 2 years with the $90 million you mentioned. You're not going to pay him the life of the contract. I really don't think so. But if he does come into a situation with the Falcons where I think the offense is decent, I like a lot of the offense the Falcons has. I think Cousins can thrive in that. I get the playoff number. There's no denying that. But I think Cousins can have a good showing with the Falcons. I think he's what the Falcons need for now. Down the road, who knows? I don't know. And look, maybe Michael Penix winds up being that guy and makes the Falcons look brilliant. But if you brought Kirk Cousins in to win right now, you need to give him the help to win right now. Otherwise, you're just bringing him in to string him along. You're wasting that money by not giving the Falcons the picks and the players that they need. Instead, you're backdrafting his backup, where nobody saw that coming. The Falcons had no indication they were going to do that. So I don't know. Why do you pay him that much money? Because you want to win now. So help him win now. Instead, you draft his backup that you're not going to see for years. It's just maddening. It's bad business.
I understand everybody looks as it's bad business, but I think the Falcons are saying, look, we got to get some sort of winning now to keep the fan base engaged. Look, Logan, I go to the Falcons games. There ain't nobody there other than from the other team. So we engage the fan base now. We have something for the future, knowing that Cousins may have 2 years. Lucky if we get 3. But then here's the other thing, though, Logan, is let's say Kirk Cousins does okay, but Michael Penix is coming along, and they say, well, you know what? We could use that as some trade bait for a team that needs a year quarterback.
You don't draft trade bait at number 8, though.
No, I'm not talking about Penix trade. I'm talking about Cousins.
It's too much money to trade him. No one's taking that contract
I look at it and I go,
it's frustrating, man.
I understand, but I just don't. I think the Falcons have to look at both. They got to keep the fan base engaged. And look, some of these quarterbacks ain't going to last. It's not like Tom Brady. It's just not. Look at the cliff that a lot of these quarterbacks are now falling off of, and it's just not a Tom Brady world. That is an anomaly.
If you want to engage me, don't draft a guy I'm not going to see for 3 years. Draft me a defensive guy that's going to go sack the quarterback, and maybe I'll even go to a Falcons game. But I'll go to a Stripers game first, Adam.
I'm waiting for you, man.
All right, we got to hit a quick break. Come back on the other side, wrap up the first half of the show. It's Adam and Logan on the Second String Podcast and Now Radio Show on WGAU.
Now back to the Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Gotta squash it right there because the bad words do come in, but I do love that intro, Sublime. Was that on your CD mixer back in the day?
That was on the mixtape. Mm-hmm. That was the 90s mixtape. Yep.
Did you have the Case Logic like case with like 35 CDs, most of them burnt?
We used to do that, and we used to stick them all in, and some of them we didn't really title, so we didn't know it was on there.
Oh, yeah.
And I wish we would have gone back. We're like, well, I don't know. But that was the fun of it. You didn't know it was on there. You're like, oh, it's a surprise. Let's see what's on here.
CD roulette. Would you ever say, hey, I can't play the Sublime CD. Logan borrowed it and scratched it.
Oh, the worst is when somebody did that. Ugh. They gave it back to you scratched. We used to get so furious. And let me tell you.
And they deny it.
If you borrowed somebody's CD they bought and scratched it, you better not come out for weeks.
Nah, you better not come out for weeks or replace the darn thing.
Right.
One or the other. But yeah, oh my gosh. The kids, they'll never understand the struggle, Adam.
Nope.
Now we have literal. I'll just say it. I subscribe to Apple Music. Do you subscribe to music, Spotify, or anything like that?
I have Apple Music too. So, I don't listen to it as much.
By the way, I know we're radio and whatnot, but like I can listen to any song from any era from anywhere just by opening my phone and pressing a couple of buttons. We love radio, obviously. Nothing replaces live radio. But like if you're on the back porch and you want to hear a song right now, I can pull out my phone and do that. Anything, and I don't have to buy it. But
right.
Like back in the day, those CDs and those mixed CDs, they were just a way of life. And if you hit a bump in the road, hope you didn't scratch your CD, right?
Yeah, that was the worst. It really was.
And
when somebody got a CD, you tried to copy it. That's like, hey, can I copy that?
I was one of the first, I think, in my like high school to get a CD burner, and I was early on Napster. I was early in those AOL chat rooms.
LimeWire.
LimeWire, the chat rooms that a server would pop up. And I was burning CDs for like teachers before like anybody was doing that.
Did you charge the teachers? I would have.
Well, it got good grace. Let's just put it that way. But that's how I learned about like Steely Dan. Like a teacher wanted Steely Dan. I never heard of Steely Dan.
So you learn music from your. That's awesome.
Absolutely. It was good stuff. All right, we got to hit a break, Adam. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about the dogs in the NFL draft. A good week for them. The Braves are playing good, but we're not hitting. I can't figure it out. But the Braves will eventually click and we'll go on a tear. But we'll come back on the other side. Second String Podcast on WGAU.
You're listening to The Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Are we going in the Wayback Machine right now, Adam? Just Another Day, John Cicada.
Is this 1993, 94? And why are we playing John Cicada?
I'm going to go with early 90s. You were a little bit over, 1992.
1992, okay.
Now, you know, if you said 93 on Price is Right, you're overbid, you're out.
Right,
you win nothing. You win absolutely nothing.
But why John Cicada?
Why not John Cicada? That's what you got to ask yourself. Let me tone down John Cicada. We're going to bring him back in just a second, all right? Dave had a great idea this morning on the morning show. And I want to grace our second string cheeseheads that did not get a chance to hear it for a chance on the podcast here to do so. I went out to the lake this week to mow some grass. I've got a contract out there with the neighborhood, Adam, where it takes like 3 hours to cut a lot of grass, a lot of yards, a lot of neutral ground. I get on my mower. I've got this big old zero-turn great mower. I paid a lot of money for it, but I love it. Like, I enjoy cutting grass. Do you?
I can cut grass all day. Listen,
it's satisfying.
Even if it's 90 degrees, I'll be out there cutting it.
Yeah, nothing wrong with throwing a Powerade, Gatorade in your pan. Just go out there and do your thing, or a cold beverage of your choice. But, yes, I was out there yesterday doing that. Now, these cicadas that are about to boom upon
there
us.
There we go.
The cicadas, now, they're not out everywhere yet. I'm not even sure here in Athens we're going to get them. Like, the map is pretty patchy, but those that are getting cicadas are going to get an influx of these big old nasty alien-looking bugs, and they're going to be in your face for a while. Well, Lincoln County's there, Adam.
They made it everywhere. Well, here is what I learned from one of the heads ground crew guy at the Gwinnett Stripers. He told me, he said, Metro Atlanta will probably not get them like Gwinnett County and Cobb County, Fulton County, Barrow County may or may not get them.
Yeah.
But he said the outskirts will. It's because of all the disturbed ground from all of the building.
Mm-hmm.
All of the constant building has dug up what
makes sense.
They are, so they're gone.
Yeah, rural areas will be more in depth to them. But, they're everywhere. I pull up to the neighborhood of the lake, and I swear it's like a generator's off in the woods, like a loud generator, or maybe like a lawnmower or something, like a machine noise. It's all the bugs up in the trees. They come out of the ground. They migrate to the trees. They're ugly. I showed you a picture of it.
Yeah, they are. They're kind of black with some red eyes.
You can see it on my gram. I put a video of a tree that was just absolutely chock full of these things. So if you haven't heard a cicada, this is basically what the backyard sounds like.
Which is like a lot of crickets, only louder.
That's terrible, by the way.
And do you know this past week?
Just try to talk over this.
Residents in South Carolina, not far from where we're at. It's very loud.
Like if you, oh yeah, if you,
you
and
hear
I
me?
Were, this is what it is.
So they called 911 the police told them to stop calling 911. They can't do anything about the noise. True story.
All right, stop the cicadas. All right, now brought to you by David Johnson, Logan Booker in the morning show on 960 The Ref. I now give you John Cicada with his backup band, the Cicadas.
You know, the Cicadas are a little offbeat, Logan, but we'll go with it.
They're amateurs.
That's right. They only come out once every, 17 years?
This is their moment. Hey, give me less Cicada
and more Cicada. We gotta play a game. Is it cicada or cicada?
I think you should drop the cicada background noise on Haley all week.
You know, I freaked her out because I told her once we get them here in Athens, they will be flying around and probably flying your hair. They'll probably fly in the building, and she freaked out. Leave me alone.
If John Cicada and the Cicadas were playing the 40 watt, would you hit them up?
Oh yeah,
I'd pay $20.
I would pay $20 to see that.
$20 to see the Cicadas with John Cicada. Anyway, that's the lameness that we are on the morning show at 960 The Ref, and I bleed it into the second string podcast. But, man, those cicadas are weird, man.
You know, I'm glad you got to experience that while you were mowing grass, man.
I had to dodge them. They're flying all over the place.
I'm surprised you didn't mow over any of them, to be honest.
In all seriousness, though, this is like a public service announcement. Apparently, copperheads love these things. They're all over the ground in the trees. Like, they are more active than they ever are right now every 13 years. So if you're doing gardening or mowing the lawn, or walking through the woods, just be alert that these copperheads are out and they're looking for food, and you don't want to step on them.
Yeah, that's a little concerning, though. I didn't know about that. I may not be going out. I can mess with anything, but snakes, I don't want to mess with.
Here's the weird thing, man. I feed birds at the lake. Like, I love feeding the birds. We're out in the deep woods. Tons of different birds come and eat out of my feeders. And I sat on the porch yesterday after cutting the grass, and I filled the feeders up. Usually, on any given day, you get birds from every angle, Adam. They are nowhere to be seen right now.
Where do you think they are?
Because they're in the woods.
They're eating cicadas.
It's the equivalent of me and you just walking out from work, and all of a sudden, every tree, every bush has just sprouted barbecue sandwiches.
Oh, my goodness.
And we're like, well, I don't need to buy lunch today. No. I've got barbecue everywhere. That's what they're doing. My bird seed is like vegetables to them. Right? They don't want that. They're like, man, this is boring. I got cicadas everywhere.
That's
got to
be dejecting for you because you even post. I just saw you post some videos of your bird feeder. Mm-hmm. You had a blue jay, a cardinal, and a few other.
And that's in Bethlehem. So they're still hanging around.
So they're, yeah. So.
My bird's at the lake in Lincoln County. You know us dinks. We have multiple properties.
Yeah, of course.
Adam, that's just
of
what
course
we do.
You do. I got to get to be one of these dinks.
I'm telling you, man. Well, sell your kids and you can live the dink.
I don't think that's going to go over well with them.
I don't think that's going to happen very well. NFL draft. The Dogs did see some good names being called. Love Brock Bowers going to the Las Vegas Raiders, mainly because that was one pick ahead of the New Orleans Saints, and I really could not stomach the thought of Brock Bowers, one of the best Bulldogs, greatest Bulldogs that ever lived, to wear a Saints jersey.
Yeah, that would have been something that I would have struggled with. Do I cheer for him or not?
It'd be tough. I mean, you got to cheer for him, but, I mean, it's so dirty with the Saints. But thank God we don't have to worry about that.
Right.
Raiders take him at 13. Amarius Mims to the Bengals at 18. Love that pick. But my favorite story out of this draft, I mentioned him earlier talking about horses, Ladd McConkey, man, one of the best stories in Georgia football history, the way he was unrecruited. The only Power 5 offer he had was from Vanderbilt. He was a big Vols fan. Growing up in Chatsworth.
Right, up. He went to Whitfield. Was it Whitfield County?
So.
Yeah, yeah.
Way up in northwest Georgia, but his family loved the Vols. He grew up cheering for the Vols. He wanted to be a Vol, and he kind of made that known. We won't hold it against him, but he took a visit to Tennessee late in the process. They decided not to offer him. And by the way, he was one hell of a high school athlete. He's not just out of nowhere, but he wasn't getting the offers that he probably should have been getting in college football. Well, the Dogs swoop in last minute and say, hey, we've got a spot for you. We like what you got. Do you want to come and give it a shot? See if you work out for us. And he did. He took the scholarship offer, and lo and behold, man, the last 3 years, or I guess four, he redshirted one. I think he redshirted. I don't even know. Anyway, our time with Ladd McConkey was ridiculously awesome, winning two national championships, the good moments he had against Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama. I mean, he was just the epitome of what you want as a college wide receiver. And the fact that he went number 34 overall, and Jim Harbaugh, the Michigan coach, who's now the Chargers coach, traded up to get him. I just cannot wait. I think him with Justin Herbert as a solidified quarterback. And look, I make fun of John Harbaugh because he's a weirdo. John's not the weirdo,
right.
My apologies. The Michigan coach, Jim Harbaugh, now Chargers coach, he's a weird guy, but he's a good football coach. And there's no denying that. He really is. So I think he's going to put Ladd McConkey with Justin Herbert in a pretty good situation.
Yeah, I think Jim Harbaugh is probably not weird on the football field. He's probably one of those guys that's his element, and he's normal. It's just when you get him outside, he doesn't know what to do with himself. Listen, Ladd McConkey took advantage of a great situation in Georgia, and Kirby Smart, I think, is of that vein of Jim Harbaugh, that football mind, putting you in the right position with the right assistant coaches, with the right scheme. Mm-hmm. You had the right quarterbacks at Georgia. Look, Stetson and Carson Beck, two different sized quarterbacks, but they can both deliver the ball. And I think Ladd was just that guy that the defense didn't key on him, and then he made him pay. And lo and behold, that just rose his stock up over the years. And to go with a national championship proven NFL coach, Logan, that's the best.
Yeah, I think he's.
That's the best. Like, you're going with Jim Harbaugh. You know he can win in both leagues.
Mm-hmm. I love Javon Bullard to the Packers, by the way. I love Kamari Lassiter to the Texans. Don't really have any love for either one of those two NFL teams, but I think the Packers will put Javon in a very good situation. I think Kamari, don't know a ton about the Texans, but Kamari's fantastic.
Well, the Texans, you got D'Amico Ryans. Mm-hmm. What a great young coach. You got some great young players all across the board, offense and defense. That is the team on the rise, especially in a division they can definitely win again this year.
Yeah. So just great all around, man. And Tyke Smith went to the Tampa Bay Bucks, and then later in the rounds, I'm drawing a blank on who all went where, but just another good showing.
The Falcons picked up
Zion Lowe.
Yeah, Zion Lowe. And let me ask you a question, though. This is the least amount of drafted Georgia players in recent history. Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. Okay. You're going to have cycles like this where you just don't have this like bubbling over, oh my God, players. I mean, look, you're still in the upper echelon of everybody that was drafted all programs. But here's the thing to consider. If you're Tennessee fan or Florida fan or Bama fan or Auburn fan, teams that don't like Georgia, if they want to use that number, the eight players drafted as, oh man, you guys are on the downswing, you didn't get drafted this year, I introduce you Tate Ratledge, I introduce you Carson Beck, I introduce you Smile Mundon, and others. I can come up with five other names if you want me to, that came back to Georgia to play for another year that would have been drafted.
Right, yes.
Kirby convinced them that because they were not a guaranteed first or second round pick, come on back, we'll hook you up with some NIL money, we'll continue to develop you, we'll get you to the early rounds next year. Kirby's a master of that. If those guys had come out, no doubt in my mind, we're talking about 13, 14 Georgia Bulldogs drafted right now, but they came back. That's not good for Tennessee fan. That's
no.
Not good for Auburn fan. So if they're trying to use this as some sort of fodder, some sort of, you know, let's talk a little trash to Georgia, it's going to bite them in the butt real quick, man.
It is. And consider this, too. The state of Georgia only got 9 players drafted. There was only one mm-hmm. Georgia State player. Mm-hmm. Zero goose egg for Tech, which where does that put? I mean, I know we don't talk a lot of Tech, but I mean, just for the context, where does that put Tech's program in your mind? There's nobody coming out of there. Just nothing.
I think their new coach has them excited more than they've been in a while. Brent Key gets fired up, and I think what they need to focus on at Tech is not getting the 4- and 5-star guys out of high school because they're not going to. There's too much around them that offers way more in terms of experience, development, NIL, all those things. They're not going to get the best players. What I've said for the last couple of years, and especially now that NIL is a thing, what they need to focus on is getting the player that went to Alabama from the Atlanta area and decided they're just a little homesick or they're not panning out the way they wanted to. Still really good players that want to come back home.
Right.
They may not be good enough to transfer and crack the depth chart at Georgia or all the other surrounding programs that are great, but Tech needs to zero in on using a transfer portal model and whatever NIL they have to say, hey, maybe you should have stayed closer to home out of the gate. You're from Atlanta. Come play for the Tech Yellow Jackets, and we'll do the best with you.
I got to say this, Logan. I don't know if this for sure, but Tech's got to have NIL money. Being in Atlanta with some wealthy. I mean, I would think that, but then again, we don't know.
No, I mean, like the one thing that I think Georgia may struggle with a little bit is we don't have that like billionaire guy. A lot of programs do. I mean, I can't sit here and reel them off, but like the Yellowwood. You know, have you seen the Yellowwood commercials?
Yeah, the hardwood floor,
He's an Auburn guy. He's worth billions. He loves the Auburn Tigers. I think that's the joke is that NIL money is really Yellowwood money.
You know, if you look at a Boone Pickens out in Oklahoma.
Great example.
You never know if that's going to sway some players. The money talks.
Of course it does. NIL's way, it's more important than ever right now, so... I don't know what the long term is. If this model stays the same. Now, real quick, I don't have the details of this, but let me just tell you what's in the news cycle right now that's worth watching. There is some proposals and some theories that are going on, some like behind the scenes. This is in the works right now. The SEC and Big Ten are sort of spearheading this like movement to lean closer and closer to taking this to court with the NCAA and allowing the schools to take control of the NIL and basically use revenue sharing to pay the players. Because asking the boosters and fans to foot the entire bill is stupid. It's not sustainable. That's why a billionaire can run a program where a team that doesn't have that could absolutely just fall on their face. But the revenue that these teams are getting from television, from ticket sales, from just branding, it's exponential. They want to use that money to say, okay, enough of the boosters. We'll still take your money and we'll use it for good reason, but we want to be able to pay our own guys what we're making. That, we've talked about this, Adam, is going to create contracts. It's going to create unionizing. It's going to create employment status for athletes that we can start paying out of pocket. What that's going to eliminate is tampering and transfer portal abuse and all these things that make it the absolute chaotic Wild West right now. And another part of this that gets layered, and I'm not prepared to like go deep on it, the NCAA is losing every single lawsuit they're in right now. Everything they're trying to regulate and keep control over this sport, they are failing. Part of this proposal is actually a settlement agreement, not this like new idea to say, NCAA, you're up a creek. You know you're up a creek. We propose this and we'll settle the rest of these lawsuits and keep whatever power you have. And then we get to do things our way. It's actually going to happen. I think in the next year or two, this is going to take place.
You know, as you're describing that, it reminds me of the model AAU basketball uses.
Yeah.
It's the AAU basketball. And a lot of people don't know that's been going on. But you look at AAU basketball, and that's what drives the college programs. Because the kid out of high school, yeah, you're going to have your kid that comes out of whatever high school goes to Kentucky. But most of them are doing that AAU basketball. And that's where they're finding, and there's a lot of deals going on. There's a lot of payment going on. And that is the model that college football is really have right now. And now they want to be able to control that.
It's an interesting time, and one thing I've said over and over on my show, and I'll say it here too, is that I do genuinely believe that we're getting closer to a more sustainable model. Everything I just said in the last couple of minutes, which I know is a lot to digest, but when we get to that point, I think if you can look way ahead, Adam, to like the 2030s and even the 2040s, I think we're going to look back on the early 2020s and say, wow, what a weird, crazy, lawless time. Like, can you imagine a day where we used to just pull money out of NIL and pay players for nothing and all the transfer portals back and forth? We will get to a point where that's not going to be the norm. And some people are not going to like it. It's basically making a mini NFL, but the toothpaste being out of the tube where the way it is now, at least do something with the toothpaste.
You know what, a side note on this whole NIL thing is, you know, back in the day when ESPN had a great documentary of SMU football.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to be able to get to a point, and hopefully these players can, so we can hear what they were actually making.
Yeah.
Like an Eric Dickerson or a Craig James from SMU or you name Earl Campbell, you know, who went to Texas and got the money. I'd love to know what they actually got, because that was all swept under the rug, and no, I didn't get anything. We knew they were getting stuff back then.
Well, I would you're right. Some of these players that are experiencing, and they're the faces of NIL right now, when their college days are done, like I'll use Caleb Downs as an example, the guy that left Alabama back when Nick Saban retired, almost came to Georgia. We thought he was, but then 11th hour and 59 minutes and 59 seconds, he pops up announcing he's going to Ohio State. And the collective there is like, hey, we want to welcome on board Caleb Downs, which, oh, how is that a mutual announcement? You're not supposed to talk about NIL through recruitment, tampering at its finest. But my point is, I want the behind the scenes from Caleb Downs down the road. I want to hear the whole thing. How did it go down? What were you offered at Georgia? What were you offered for Ohio State? How did they swoop in and convince this and that? I want to hear the candid, no-holds-barred version of that recruitment, just to find out more of what the hell is happening out there.
All of this stuff, and that's what's going to keep this so interesting. You know, we're not going to lose interest in this. We're going to be like, wow, that guy got this, and that was the process? Yeah. I can't wait.
And let me be Disney dog here for a second. That's a term used for the eternal optimist. And this is what I kind of fall back on. It's chaotic. It's maddening. It's frustrating. It seems like it's a sport I did not fall in love with. But we eventually, through the chaos of December through September, we will eventually get to fall Saturdays.
Yeah.
We will eventually have football games and family and food and beer and all the things that we love about fall. Great weather. It's not going to stop.
No.
But the off season's ridiculous right now. It's absolutely insane.
It is. And is it a good thing? Well, we're talking about it. I mean, think about this, Logan. After the spring game, would we be talking about the dogs much until camp? Probably not. But now that we're talking about that, oh, and by the way, we're talking about other SEC teams, how that could affect Georgia, how it could affect everybody. That's probably an unintended or maybe intended consequence that college football wants. Oh, they're still talking about it. You never know what's going to, because let's face it, after the spring game, we never talked about the dogs. No. You just didn't.
It's just the world we live in, Adam. It's a crazy, crazy, craziness right now. It's going to get resolved in some way, shape, or form. And pumpkin beers are always going to be there in the fall for us.
Yes, that's coming up sooner than we think.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Kareen. You're awfully quiet over there. All right, quick break, Adam. We got to come back and do another 4 minutes on the Second String Podcast and Now Radio Show right here on WGAU.
Now back to the Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
It's not just going to be May. It is May, Adam.
Can I tell you a great story about Justin Timberlake and that whole song?
Look, if you want to rebrand this podcast as a Justin Timberlake stan podcast, let's do it, man.
Man, he said, he just came out again and said, the word he's mispronounced, he regrets in his life is me. He said, I wish I wouldn't have done that. And actually, one of the producers on that song told him to sing it that way to stretch it out. Unbelievable.
It's coming up again. You ready for it?
One of the best Insane songs, by the way.
It's a great song. Oh, this goodness. Is their extended chorus, right?
Yeah, this is the one where they were in the toys.
Here we go.
There it is.
It's gonna be May.
Oh, the video was awesome. I loved it.
Every end of April, we get blessed with the sweet sounds of NSYNC. I was wrong about Justin Timberlake. He's cooler than I thought he was.
What was your idea in high school about
him? Well, back in high school, like, boy bands weren't cool for guys to like because it was just not the cool thing. Girls loved them. See, I was in high school peak NSYNC Backstreet Boys.
Oh, yeah.
TRL days. Like, that was my 98 through 2001 high school years. But here's the thing, and I'll admit this in hindsight. We all had him as a guilty pleasure. We pretended like we hated them, but when their songs came on, we were bobbing our heads.
All the girls loved them. How can you not like? That's what you want to be because all the girls loved them. Well, I want to be one of those guys.
I know, man.
Backstreet Boys. We want to beat them.
They're ridiculous looking in hindsight. I'm looking at him with his music video. Like that's what the girls were into. Like really,
man.
Look at me for crying out loud. I don't have much to offer, but I don't have plastic hair like that. Anyway, but nowadays, now that we're grown up and we're in our 40s now. All that boy band stuff from the early 2000s, it is some of the best nostalgia out there.
Of course. You throw it on. I'm
jam out, man.
I'm never in a bad mood when you put on either one of those bands. No.
All good. We didn't get to much Braves talk today. That's fine. It's sort of early season still. But the Braves are winning, but they're not hitting. It's like you got to start swinging the bats.
Eventually it'll catch up. But I think, you know, I was even the one that was worried about it. But, look, there's always somebody to step up, which really helps out, Logan. Towards the end of the season, you know you can count on a multiple amount of guys. As opposed to two or three.
And so far, look, it's early. I'm not going to pretend like this is going to happen all year long, but Chris Sale has been awesome.
Yeah, let's take
it. Reynaldo Lopez has been a great starter. Max Fried, he almost pitched a no-hitter the other night.
Right.
They pulled him out because he was at 100 pitches. I get that, but he did not give up a hit in his outing, and his last two have been phenomenal. So fingers crossed, man. It looks like the pitching is coming around. If we can get him clicking while the offense clicks, that's the World Series team I want to see.
Can we do it, though? We got to get Acuna to lead it off like we know Acuna can lead it off.
And I'm not that worried about him still because he's reaching base, he's stealing, he's wreaking havoc. But I do want to see him hit the ball better. But take your walks, man. Take your hit bats, man. Do whatever you got to do to get on base because you're so freaking dangerous. 45 minutes. Give the people some good advice about anything and everything.
Well, if it was 45 minutes, I wouldn't have all that.
Seconds,
but 45 seconds. Look, like Logan said, get yourself out to a Braves game. Mm. Do it early in the season because it's going to be harder to get tickets later in the year and see these guys because they are good. I mean, they take the Guardians, the other great team in the Major League Baseball, and they win 2 out of 3. Let's do it.
I didn't even tell my whole account, but I went last Friday, had some beers with some friends. We had a great time, man. It was such a beautiful night at the ballpark. All right, Adam, we out. See you next week. We'll keep watching the Braves. And, hey, May's full of stuff. It's just not as abundant as April. But it's going to be May, Adam.
It's May already.
It is May already. All right, we'll catch you next week. It's the Second String on WGAU.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.